In Acts chapter 16, I won't keep you long. I just want to give you a meditation. I've been preaching through the book of Acts, and some time ago we got to this passage, and it really tells us what is true about missions. And I'd like to try to talk to you a minute, give you something. Maybe sometime you just jot a few notes along, and in your own meditation, the Lord will kind of feed you some things to give some meat around it. But I'd just like to talk to you about why the church is here to begin with. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I don't need to say a lot to this church. You have a name. This church does. You have a name that you live and that you love the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, it goes far outside these walls, ladies and gentlemen. And I know it bleeds from the heart of your pastor. And I thank God for that, but I thank God for you. So as I'm preaching to you, I don't want you to even think that I'm trying to give you something you don't already know and practice. Amen. All I'd like to do is just give you something to put a little diesel on the fire. Can I do that? Because it's already burning hot here. In fact, I'm pretty warm right now. Amen. So Acts 16, if you'd stand for the reading of the Word of God, please. We'll read a couple verses. Verse 16, or chapter 16, verse 1, the Bible says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was of a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have go forth with him." Then we'll drop down to verse 5, just trying to real quickly get through this chapter. And so were the churches established. That word established is a medical term, which means to be strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Verse 6, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia," that's an interesting statement. Verse 9, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Then drop down to verse 12, "And from thence to Philippi." And he talks about leading some people to Christ here. We're going to talk about in a moment. We see a woman that sold purple. We see a woman that was demon possessed. And then if you'll turn over to verse 25, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas, after having been beaten and everything, were thrown in prison. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed." And if you read this story, you know the story. The jailer got saved. Amen. And verse 34, it says, "And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced." There's something about getting saved. "Believing in God with all his house." And so I'd like to say to you that Acts chapter 16, if you take notes and even care to know, this is what the book is about. Acts 16 is about one student, three sinners, two saints, and a whole lot of God. That's what church is all about. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, help us, we pray, these few moments in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. One student, three sinners, two saints, and a whole lot of God. Someone says we must evangelize or we're going to fossilize. That is true, isn't it? The church exists for two reasons, I believe. First of all, to evangelize sinners. That's why we're here. That's the main reason we're here. And after we evangelize the sinners, then we're to encourage the saints of God. And that's the two reasons that we have church, is so that we can come, bring people to get saved. Of course, lead them to Christ out there too, but you know what I mean. And people get saved, but then we come to the house of God, because just as Jesus, if you'll remember, as he was ministering, the Bible says he perceived that virtue had left him. And when we get around the world, the virtue leaves us too. And the best place to go to get the virtue back is to go to the house of God and get a good bath at the house of God. Amen? I'm telling you, I'm getting a little excited already. That's what church is all about. I love preaching. I believe that's what church is supposed to be about, preaching. It's not to tell stories. It's not to get up and make everybody feel good. It's about preaching the Word of God. I want to tell you, nobody can make you feel better than the Holy Ghost of God can. Amen. And when he gets a hold of you, he makes a difference in your life. And so, anyway, here's what we have. Paul has been sent by the church to go and to be a missionary, and he's doing just that. And so there's a young man that he has reached by the name of Timothy that is going with him. And as they are moving along, obviously there's a place that they want to go, and God stops them from going. And I believe that it is very important that we understand, and I'll probably mention a little more about this later, that we obey the leading of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. We need to be Spirit-led people. In order to be Spirit-led, we had better been people who spent much time in prayer with the Lord, so that we can know what he wants us to do. Amen. Paul could have made a grave mistake by going the wrong direction, and God stopped him and sent him where he needed to be. And I want you to see three things very briefly that Paul did in reaching people, evangelizing people. And I believe you're in missions conference, and I'm not going to necessarily preach real to you tonight. I'd like to just give you some thoughts to think on. Would that be all right? And we'll use the Word of God and think along that way. First, I want you to see, in relation to evangelizing, there must be the obedience of the servant. We must be willing to obey what God tells us to do. We must be willing, if he says no, to no, and if he says go, to go. Amen. And this servant was willing to do that. You might turn me down just a little bit, brother. I've got these peevy lungs, and my wife's still trying to find the volume switch. It just doesn't work. But anyway, the issue that God has with his church isn't in the realm of ignorance. Get this. It's in the realm of obedience. Following what God says to do, his pleading or his leading in our life, going where he wants us to go. I remember one time that pastoring in Delaware there, a church that we started and was there for a time there, I was out, and it didn't have a lot of people to go with us, and so we were out knocking doors, and this is before the boys were where they are now. They were a lot younger, and so I was out by myself. And we were knocking doors, and I'm going to be honest with you, it was hot and it was muggy, and I didn't like it. I'm just being blunt tonight. I didn't like it. Man, it was hot. Now, boy, the houses, particular road that we were on this particular day, or I was on this particular day, the houses were spread out quite a distance. And I got to one house, and I come out to the street, Brother Ross, and I looked down there, and I could see a great distance down the way. Sweat was coming down, and it was getting my eyes. But I was looking a great way down, and I could see there was another drive. And I said, I don't want to go. And the Lord said, you better go. And I said, no, I don't want to go. He said, you better go. And I turned, and I started back towards the car, to be honest, because I was a little flustered, because everywhere we'd gone so far, it wasn't very receptive. Anybody else been there? Kind of arguing with the Lord. Now, you're not going to admit it, but I was arguing with the Lord. Finally, he said, you better get back down there, boy. And so I turned around. Now, he didn't do all this in an audible voice, now, you know, but I turned around and went back, went ahead and walked down that great distance. There was a white farmhouse there, and there was a man with a big black pot out in the front on logs. It was burning, and he was just having himself time. And I walked up that driveway, and as I walked up, I noticed he pulled something yellow out. Where in that part of Delaware, corn is very well grown around there. He was having him a big old corn roast. I walked up there. I'm sweating. I'm hot. and I'm tired, and he's got a nice big chest out here, and I thought, I probably don't want what's in that chest, but right now I'm pretty thirsty almost. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, I walked up there, and he pulled a corn cob out of there, and he said, you want one? I said, well, I think I would. I think I'd like to have one. He handed me that corn, got some butter. He said, would you like one of these? And he popped that chest open, and he had some Coke in there. Woo! Glory to God, man. The meeting was getting on by now, amen. And so I was just having myself a time. But a long story short, I talked to this man. His name was Mark Hammond. My wife remembers him quite well. I talked to Mark Hammond, gave him the gospel and everything, and I thought for sure Mark Hammond's going to get saved. He didn't. And I left there with my head down a little bit thinking, well, maybe he'll be one of those that are the few that will keep his promise. He said, preacher, I can't. I just don't believe right now is the time. He said, but I will be there not this Sunday, but I'll be there the following Sunday. I said, yeah, sure. I went back to my car. Sunday passed, the next Sunday come around, I'd gone by, he was still out of town, and I come to church that Sunday and thought, nah, ain't going to happen. Guess what happened? That door opened up, and here come Mark Hammond. But it wasn't just Mark Hammond, it's Mark Hammond and his wife. And it wasn't just Mark Hammond and his wife, it's Mark Hammond and his two daughters come walking in that Sunday morning. Mark Hammond and his wife sat in the service and listened to the message. We gave an invitation, Mark Hammond got up, him and his wife walked that aisle and got gloriously saved. Unbeknownst to us, back in junior church, his two daughters sat and listened to the junior church teacher. After the junior church preacher got through preaching, those two little girls got up, they walked the aisle, and they got saved. That whole family got in. I'm just trying to say, hey, I argued with the Lord, but I'm going to tell you, it's a lot better to be obedient and follow what the Lord tells you to do. Amen. Sometimes out of weariness, we argue a little bit with the Lord, but if we're going to evangelize, we must be obedient servants. Wouldn't you agree with that? Yeah? Obedient servant. Follow and do what the Lord says to do. Then I want you to see, secondly, I'd like to spend just a moment or two here with the operation of the Spirit. In order for you to win people, the Spirit of God's got to be at work. Now, I want to remind you of some scripture, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible does say, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There's a reason for that. We spend too much time in the energy of the flesh trying to do things and produce things without God. And the Bible clearly says the flesh profiteth nothing. I'm reminded often of the story, I believe it was Moody, and you probably have heard it before, but just for the sake of understanding what I'm saying, he was walking through town one day and a drunk met him. And said, hey, I'm one of your converts. And Moody said, you must be, because God sure didn't do anything for you. Well, I'm going to tell you, sometimes the power and energy of the flesh, that's what it produces, absolutely nothing. Are you listening to me this evening? I'm trying to say we must be people who are filled with the Spirit of God. It must be the leadership of God in our life and following Him as we watch the Spirit working in Paul's life. See, people get saved different ways. Now, hang on, don't you think I'm a heretic, all right? I'm going to explain to you what I'm talking about. Here's how the Spirit worked. First of all, He worked quietly. Watch this in verse number 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that a part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding a certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. What does that mean? And she was baptized. You know what that means? She got saved. See, here was a cultured sinner. Here's somebody that was eloquent, if you will. Somebody that was on, if you will, the right side of the tracks. Hey, you realize people on the right side of the track still need to get saved too, amen? And sometimes they're not saved like others are. What I mean by that is sometimes God works quietly in their heart, works silently and easily in their heart. See, not every sinner is that one that's out cussing and beer drinking and so on and so forth. God works differently, that's what I'm trying to say, in their life to convert them. And so Paul worked in a quiet way in a cultured sinner's heart. And this little girl, through the same gospel, believing that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, believing that same gospel, this girl got saved through the operation of the Spirit of God in Paul's life and through his life. But not only did we see that one was converted quietly, being a cultured sinner. I want you to drop down to verse 16. I'm trying to move quickly just to get done tonight. But look at verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. How's the spirit working here? I want to say the spirit's working wonderfully here. Yeah, he's working wonderfully. Why? Because here's a captive sinner. Here's somebody who's been really caught and bound by the power of Satan and God Almighty. Hey, I'm going to tell you, the gospel is supreme over them all. Amen. And the gospel released this girl from her bondage, from her captives. And you know what really the world's problem is with the gospel? It costs them money. That's really the issue that they have. They lose the green. They lose the money. But God's interested in the soul, amen. And he reached this little girl and transformed her life. How? Through the power of the name. I'm going to tell you, there's something about that name. Tonight they could have sung that song about the name. Help me with it. What's the song y'all sing about the name? Come on now. Yeah, what a lovely name. That was hard to remember, wasn't it? But what a lovely name. Hey, I'm going to tell you, his name is wonderful. His name is marvelous. And sometimes, just by speaking his name and talking about his name, it works in the hearts of people. Ladies and gentlemen, let's be obedient people. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in our lives and reach more souls for his honor and his glory. Because that's what it's all about. He reached this one in a wonderful way. I could only imagine the eyes of the people as this girl was saved and released from the power of Satan. But then I want you to see that he also, the Spirit, worked a different way at midnight. Oh my goodness. I don't know about that time. Midnight? Yeah, sometimes even God works at midnight, ladies and gentlemen. We're reading later on about in the passage where the boy fell out of the window because the preacher was preaching at midnight. Trying to help you, Brother Ross. But here, look how the Spirit worked. And Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was this earthquake, and the keeper of the prison in verse 27, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. And Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for a light. Hey, that's what the world needs. They need light. Amen. I want to remind you that Matthew says about us, ye are the light of the world. Amen. The world needs a light. They need some people to just give light. This boy needed the light, and he came and he sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This boy got saved. He was saved dramatically, amen. You're talking about the jailhouse rocked. It rocked, amen. It brought him to life. Here's a callous sinner. He was used to his sin. He liked his sin. He didn't want anything to bother with his sin. And God shook him in his place and shook him to his senses, amen. And he got saved. Now why? Because there was an obedient servant who was willing to operate with the Spirit of God on his life. How about it, ladies and gentlemen? Wouldn't it do well? We'd just be willing to surrender to God and do whatever he wants us to do. And wouldn't it be great if we'd also say, "Lord, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Use me. Here am I, Lord. Fill me. Here am I, Lord. Speak through me." The Spirit of God worked. And then always, when you're evangelizing, there's going to be the opposition of society. People aren't going to like it. Huh? We've started this little endeavor. I call it little. It's really big, man. I'm telling you, I'm scared as all get out, to be honest. I'm just being transparent with you a little bit tonight. It's going to be big. It's going to be awesome, but I'm anxious to see what God's going to do. But I can tell you this, we already see Satan fighting. man, three or four things happened today, even before we come up here, and things that we're battling with and dealing with. And Satan's going to, hey, that's what Satan's going to do. But you know what that tells us? We're doing right. You want that all to tell you when Satan fights you? Hey, I must be doing pretty good. They say, hey, if you're getting kicked in the seat of the britches, you must be out in front. Amen. So, man, I'm telling you, Satan may be trying to kick. He may be trying to work in our, against us and oppose us. But I'm telling you, that ought to tell us, hey, we must be doing the right thing. So I want to tell you, church, listen, you're doing the right thing. Satan's going to fight you. He's going to oppose you. Even through this month, he's going to do everything he can to cause havoc and to distract from this wonderful month of meetings, of encouraging the church for mission. Let me tell you, don't quit, don't turn, don't stop. Just keep on going, amen. Turn around and look at him, stick out your tongue and say, hey, you're going to have to do better than that to take us down, amen. And I want to tell you, if you're going to stay after us, I want to stick my big brother on you. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Amen. And what a wonderful thing. Every time there's birth pangs has been said. They were beaten. They were battered. But I'm going to tell you, their spirit was not broken. What were they doing in the midst of all of this? They were singing. They were praying. You know what we need to be doing? We need to just keep on singing. We need to keep on praying. Amen. Brother Reza come by, and I'll kind of end with this. Brother Reza came by Sunday night. We had what we call a family service Sunday. And I looked out and told our people about 3 weeks ago, I said, listen, here's what we're going to do on February the 1st Sunday. We're going to have a family service Sunday. And I know you clean the church, and that's not what I'm asking you to do. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to prepare a song, and every family is going to sing. You got it. Some of them looked at me just like that. And so we came last Sunday, and all the folk came in, and we started off Sunday school with our preacher boys preaching. The first preacher boy got up and said, you know what we need to do? We just need to praise God. And he began to preach on how we need to praise God. Amen. That's what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen. But then Sunday night, Brother Reza come by. We had a great day that day. And Sunday night, Brother Reza came by and he preached. And the crux of his message was this. He ended the day with this. We just need to praise God. We need to be people who will just sing. Hey, you ever been on an elevator? A group of people sitting there? And somebody just starts saying, amazing. People get all carried away, don't they? Hey, God's people, there's no better time for God's people to praise than today. Amen. People are gloomy about, and don't even get me started on Obama. Amen. And all the things that are transpiring. Hey, listen, let's not focus there. Let's keep our focus up there. Man, I'm telling you, what a great God we have. Amen. Let's just keep being obedient to him. Let's just keep allowing his spirit to control our lives and direct our lives. Let's just keep seeing Satan fight us and keep on doing right for the glory of God. Amen. Here's what happened. The bottom line is each were soundly converted. Each of these people got saved and born again. And that's the crux of mission, ladies and gentlemen. We just want to get people saved. Amen. Amen. And so by God's grace, we'll do our best to just be obedient servants. A student, three sinners, something else, and a whole lot of God. You know, that's what we got to have. We got to have a whole lot of God on our life. It doesn't matter whether we're in business or what we are, just a whole lot of God. We'll stand to our feet. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for allowing us this evening to just preach for a few moments. And I hope people have understood the message. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come to a church of such caliber. Wow. To walk in here where people just love you. And man, the praises of God come off their lips, and they're just eager to show their love for you. I just thank you for this church. And I mean that, Lord. You know it from my heart. And I'm thankful for the pastor here. I pray you to continue to bless them this month. I pray whatever goals they've set, they would just blow it completely through the top of them. That you just do amazing, mighty things through them this month. And we'll thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name.